Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. Tonight is August the 5th, and coming to you live from Arkansas, and this is Julia Cannon, and I'm so happy to be here with everyone. Let's see, what am I doing today? I forget a lot of times. I just come right into this from working and everything, and so shifting gears, putting on different hats, and so it's always fun to do that. And I think I just heard thunder outside, so you know, it's fun. Let's see. Make a few announcements here. Let's see. We're gearing up for classes coming in about a week. And that's our QHHT classes. We're going to have our Level 1 C class starting August 15th. To the 17th in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and then we'll have another one coming up in Dublin, Ireland in September, the 13th to the 15th, and then a Level 2 class in Dublin, before that, in the 8th to the 11th. So, and then we have some classes coming up in Canada, Level 1, in October, the 11th to the 13th, and I know I've got them backwards here a little bit, but I just thought I'd put level ones before the C's, level ones before the twos, just in announcements, but the dates are backwards, and we do that for reasons. But they're in October. The level one is October the 11th through the 13th, and the level two is the 6th through the 9th, and this is in Toronto, Canada. But all the information is on DoloresCannon.com and QHHTOfficial.com if you're interested at all in attending a class. And I want to give out our toll-free number before we start talking to our guest tonight. And like I said, you might be more interested in attending a class or getting a session after hearing our guest tonight. So that's why I wanted to give a little bit more specific information on our classes coming up. Besides our class, we have a couple of classes coming up in the Asian area in December. But besides those, that's the rest of the year that we have coming up. It's amazing. It's hard to believe it's August already. It's planning, already looking at this calendar and talking about this. It's like, okay, that's the end of the year. Oh, year's over. It's just amazing. It seems like we just started it. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, anyway, our call-in number is 1-888-627-6008. 1-888-627-6008. If you'd like to call in with questions for our guest or with QHHT questions at all, feel free. You know, be happy to take your questions. Anyway, our guest tonight is one of our practitioners. So happy to have you on board. And this is she's a very experienced, this level three practitioner, Mary Truitt. So happy to have you, Mary.
Hi, Julia. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here.
Oh, absolutely. It's my honor. Thank you for being here with us.
Oh, real pleasure.
Mary, what I like to do is, because, you know, I love bringing in, like I said, like I told you beforehand, I love hearing people's stories. And, you know, and this is what I love about this work. And whether it's QHHT or whether it's our authors, everybody has such interesting stories about how they got to this wild, wild, wacky world of what we do, you know. Yeah. And I just love to hear. It's almost like a calling, you know, mm-hmm. It's kind of, you know, the journey that brings you to this world and everything. And so I'd love to hear some of your story, because it's like, you know, we all start from different places. And so it's like, let's go way back when you used to be a normal person.
I'm not sure that was ever the case, but yeah.
Okay. Well, then some people never were. And so that's good because some, people need to identify with those people too. So.
It's funny because I feel as if everybody's story is different, but everybody's story is also the same on so many levels. And I think my story is no different from so many others who find themselves either drawn to studying the work or drawn to have a session. I was listening to your radio program from last week, and the author, her story is so similar to mine. I think, from a very, very young age, I just had this profound sense that somebody was keeping a secret from me. And I sometimes thought it was my parents. I sometimes thought it was my friends. And then that began to expand out in ever-widening circles until I felt as if everything I saw around me was a lie, that I was being sort of sold. And the only place where I found real honesty and pleasure was in nature and running in the grass and feeling the sunshine. And, so I felt as if the world were sort of a funny dichotomy of absolute beauty and honesty and pristine, just perfection, but also that there was this other layer on top of it of untruth and of lies. And the institutions that I was asked to be in, schools and, things like that, books that I was given to read and to believe in, a part of me just always rebelled against them. And is this kind of, you want me to go this far back? You want me to keep
Absolutely.
going?
So you're talking all the way back from as early as you can remember. You were feeling that way?
As long as I can
Wow.
remember.
Okay.
And just a sense of non-belonging, just a sense of not even really. One of my favorite quotes was when Bob Dylan said at a interview years ago, he was being interviewed by a journalist, and the journalist said, "Why are you such a rebel? Why do you always consider yourself outside of society all the time?" And he said, "I don't consider myself outside of anything. I just consider myself not around." And it was this sense of being an alien, being a stranger in a place that I really identified with when I heard that. And that's the way I've always felt. And, when I was a child, there was no material out there,
Right.
and this is when I go back to what your writer was saying last week, there were just little teeny tiny breadcrumbs to follow. Young people now have no idea.
That's exactly, and that's what I was really trying to get across is they do not have an idea. They think, oh, it's always been like this. No, it has not.
No, it definitely has not. But if you dig deep enough, there are people who left behind such incredible work back in, you can go as far back as you want to. But even I love some of Alice Bailey's work from the 1930s, Gurdjieff, some of the trailblazers, Edgar Cayce. And Ruth Montgomery, whose books, when they came out, I think I was in high school or something, I began to devour those. So I began to have a sense that there were people who were secret keepers, people who were sort of moving in on some of these untruths, and they were beginning to find out what some of these secrets were. And my interests went from UFOs to is there life after death? Are we alone in the universe? All of those things. Health and how to keep a healthy body in society where there's so many poisons around. So I began to study, and different forms of energy medicine and different forms of thinking. And the truth is that when I came across Dolores in 2011, I had already studied Reiki to the level of master. I was already doing the reconnective healing, just searching, 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 reading a lot of books on many different subjects. And when I found Dolores, I felt the feeling that so many of my clients describe when they call me, which is a sense of coming home, a sense of, oh my God, somebody's done it. You know, I was like, when I found Dolores, it was just, she did everything. She, you know, she had she'd studied UFOs. She dug deep and deep into history. She was looking at spiritual evolution and the ascension of the earth. And I just could not get down to Arkansas fast enough to take the first level one class. So that was really where it all began.
Okay. And that was in 2011.
Yeah, I took a class in 2011. I think it was a 5-day class in Arkansas. Yeah.
Okay. So if that would have been, okay, that would have been probably one of our first ones that we started having practice sessions in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think we had practice sessions at night. You know, some of us would get together and do that. I don't specifically remember practice sessions in that class. Level two, we definitely did, I think, some practice sessions. Honestly, Julia, I don't remember. I was so in awe of Dolores, and I would sit in the front row like a little chipmunk, you know, storing all the nuts in my cheeks, just listening, absorbing. And I don't think I even really thought I would ever be a practitioner. You know, I just wanted to be with her because I so respected her rigor as a historian and the integrity of her work and her honesty. You know, thank God she left behind so many videos because I think it comes across in video.
Right. Yes.
And to be with her, you know, was just an amazing experience. And so a lot of the classes are blurred to me. I had incredibly great times there and learned so much, but it was just her presence that really overwhelmed them all.
That's a really interesting. okay. So from there, Then you started taking the classes, and then you started, so you didn't know if you wanted to be a practitioner, but then something must have happened.
You know, I think at the end of that first week, I saw that the way to get to the next level was to do a lot of practice sessions that you had to, she said, you have to do 100 sessions if you want to come to level two. So I came home and, I mean, I practically did a session on my cat. I mean, I did sessions on all of my friends, my family. I would do anything to bribe everybody to come have a session with me. My first session I ever had was on my husband. On our bedroom floor, I set up a bunch of pillows and our children were at the door screaming at us the whole time. What are you guys doing in there? You know, I had no practice room. I think at one point I was trying to get to the SC at the end of my first session, and the cat, I think, jumped on him and woke him up. So, you know, those first few months of practicing were pretty funny. You know, there wasn't the support in place that we have now with the forum and questions that could be answered quickly. So, I mean, the support that you have now in place for practitioners is so amazing. And I did not really have that. I had a couple of friends that I did level one with, and, you know, we could always call the office, but I didn't want to bother you all. Mm-hmm. And so I just practiced and practiced, and when level two came up, I grabbed the class and went and took it and just kept practicing. And just the process of doing these sessions is so fascinating, and it never, ever gets old. Every session is unique, and every session is fascinating. And I've come to really just be in love with this work. Every session I have is a gift and a blessing to me. People thank me for sessions, and I just laugh at them. I'm like, you know, no, thank you for coming. It's just a pleasure.
Well, let's talk about some sessions. Let's what kinds of sessions do you? Like you said, they're all different. But Well, first of all, what types of people do you find coming to get sessions?
Well, it's funny. This probably isn't funny, but I'm going to kind of say it's funny, which is I finally said to a client the other day, I wish people would come to see me who didn't want to kill themselves. Because I'm finding that so many people come to see me who are just exhausted. They are the first waivers.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to describe what a first waiver is or go into the whole three waves.
No, that's perfectly fine. Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know more than I do. Would you like to describe the three waves?
Sure, we could talk about that. You know, Mom introduced the subject, and she started finding that in her work. Then she pulled all that information together in her book, The Three Waves of Volunteers in the New Earth. But she first started finding it. The first person was Phil in Keepers of the Garden. Mm-hmm. I think she did that in the 80s.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yes. That was her first waiver.
Yep.
And, but it was, and then she started, as she kept doing sessions, she started seeing a pattern of people, and she started terming it waves, but it was a pattern. And it was like just waves of people coming in. And she said, it's just as if they're, these groups coming in waves. And they're coming in formation, sort of, I'm trying to put my words, it's probably because there's so much coming in here. In the first wave would have been the ones coming in at first, when the call went out, there was a call that, when it was right after, shortly after the bomb dropped on, in Hiroshima, and the other one, after the bombs and everything. And, it was several things that were happening there, and, Earth, actually, it was Earth, as Mother Gaia sent out the call. She needed help. It's like, this isn't
right.
It's like, these people are killing me. I need help. And so the call went out for higher vibration beings to come in and help the humans that are here to raise their vibrations so that they will stop hurting her. And, so that's really what happened. And so the waves, the beings started coming in groves, but they came in, they had to come in a method so that to help us, or help the people so that to help the earth. That's in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's perfect. And that's exactly, the first waivers, of course, were born after the bombs were dropped at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. And, so we have people being born in the 50s, 60s who came in here, I think even back into the 40s, she said.
It spanned quite a spread. Yes. There. It's like you can't say it's like just this one little piece. It spanned quite a bit.
There were so many things going. And I think that the idea of the deep history that Earth has tried to ascend to the next dimension over and over again, and that this time it has to work. And so what I see are, I see first waivers and second waivers. And then I have a lot of clients who have children who are third waivers. So, I can tell you what characterizes the first waivers and what characterizes the second waivers. The first waivers are the ones who are coming in exhausted.
Yes.
And, there's this whole sense of, I came to this planet, a lot of them, when we go to their past lives and what I try to do with the first waivers who come in and say, I'm wounded, I've had this most challenging, difficult life, I've tried to hold the frequency, but this place is getting to me. It's I don't understand war. I don't understand why people are hurting the earth, hurting each other. Mm-hmm. What the hell am I doing here? And so what I do is, as we're going through their lifetimes, we go back to the planning stage. And this is one of the most fascinating things about QHHT to me, is that we can actually go to the council or to the guardian. I mean, they have different names. The mm-hmm. people who, the spirits and the teachers who you plan this life with. And it's such an incredible reunion when the client is able to look in the eyes, the person that they made this plan with, and remember it.
And at the point that they volunteered and everything.
The point that they volunteered. Yeah. And mm-hmm. and it's funny because, you know, I often think of, I read a book years ago about ADD and ADHD, because I'm also a teacher. And they said that the reason why America has so many people with ADD and ADHD is you have to imagine the kind of person who just jumped on a ship and said, hey, I'll go to America. And it's very much like the energy of the volunteers who came here. Because what I find with my clients is that when we go back to the council, we go back to the guardian, and the guardian says, hey, you were in a really big rush. You know, like, I wanted to tell you how hard it was going to be, but you just wanted to jump into a body so fast. And so we have that conversation. And so the person, the client, is able to reconnect with why they came. And the really beautiful, beautiful part of it is that often what the SC, the subconscious, will say, or the guardian or planner will say to the client is, all you have to do now is be. You've done your work. You've held the vibration. Just enjoy your life now. Lay yeah. down the burden and let the next generation do it now, and just be your beautiful self and enjoy your life. Heal the wounds you have, and step. I always think of things archetypally, so I always say, walk away from the wounded healer archetype and step into the healed healer archetype, mm-hmm. and start your new life after this session. You've done your work. Enjoy your life now.
Oh, beautiful! And I got all the confirmation chills as you were saying that.
yeah. So that's a real pleasure. That's a real pleasure to do that work with people. And then the second waivers are really interesting. I don't know how much work you've done with them. I don't get them as much as the first waivers, but I get people in their 20s mm-hmm. who come to see me, and when they go to experience their other lifetimes, a lot of times they don't have another lifetime.
Right.
They go into color, or they go into energy. And when I ask them to see for me, to see certain things, they can't see, they can only feel things. So there's a sense of synesthesia where instead of seeing a scene, they feel the color, or I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so those, and I even had one client, this was just hilarious, and he came, he really couldn't articulate why he even came. He just said, I knew I had to come and have a session with you. We had quite a short interview because he really didn't have a lot to talk about. He was very quiet. He kept looking down the whole time. And when I hypnotized him, he saw some energy. He saw a lot of energy. And then he said, I think they're coming to get me. And whoever it was, his soul family, came to get him. And he looked as if he were asleep for about an hour and a half. I just sat there with him while he wouldn't respond. He was not asleep. I knew that he wasn't asleep. He was mumbling enough so that I knew he wasn't. Mm-hmm. But what he told me afterwards, what he wasn't able to say, was that he saw a group of souls, a group of spirits, come to get him. And they said, we need to take you away to do the work, and then we'll bring you back.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he went away perfectly happy. He said, thank you. That was beautiful. And
so describe where they took him and what they did.
You know, he didn't want to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Well,
and he said, he just kept saying it was so beautiful. And I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to poke at him.
Sure.
And I, I didn't, you know, sometimes I follow up with clients just to say, let me know if you have any questions. But I felt that asking him too many questions might be impertinent somehow.
Right. Yeah. No. No, he got what he needed, and that was important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, I have all kinds of clients who come, and you know, some clients need healing. I think I probably have more clients who need healing, psychic healing, and need to reconnect with their higher self.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of clients who have off-planet lives, which are really fascinating.
Yes.
I don't know. We can talk about whatever you want.
Talk about what? Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you feel drawn. So you're talking about those. So let's go ahead and talk about them. Goodness, I don't know what's coming in. Anytime I start doing this kind of stuff, it means a lot of energy is coming in. So yeah. I must be pulling and getting it from you.
I was going to
ask earlier is like, yeah, what cases are uppermost in your mind is like, words. You know those things that we speak with?
Yeah. What am I kind of thinking about now in terms of, yeah. I you know what you mean.
Those things. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the case, you know, lately I've been getting a lot of people who have questions about their dream life.
And that's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. People who either used to remember their dreams and don't anymore, or people who are having incredibly vivid dreams. They wake up in the middle of the night. They're blown away by their dreams. They say, oh, I should write this down. No, no, no. I could never forget this. Go back to sleep, and it's gone in the morning. And a lot of people who are receiving downloads as they sleep. And I had a client yesterday who was telling me that she saw symbols on her ceiling. When she wakes up in the middle of the night, she sees symbols, and they look like, and I have a lot of clients who report this. Remember in the movie The Matrix, when he finally sees the Matrix and it's just symbols going across the green light? Did you see The Matrix?
Oh, I did. I don't know that I ever saw it all the way through. I don't remember.
Yeah, but it looks kind of like hieroglyphics.
Okay.
What I think is that it's Akashic record material, but it just looks like hieroglyphics, and people see it scrolling across their eyelids,
mm-hmm,
or scrolling on the ceiling, and they want to know what it means. And what I've been told over and over again is that people are being given information for the future, that they're going to need it at some point, and that they don't need to know what it is right now.
Right.
So that's fascinating to me. I think one of my favorite stories, you asked me what came up into my head, and this story always comes up, which is I had a charming young woman who came to see me. She was only about 22. And she came to see me because she had stopped remembering her dreams. And her dreams were very, very vivid before that. She loved her dreams. She, you know, enjoyed her dream life. And she said, why aren't I having dreams anymore? So we regressed her, and she went to a beautiful life in sub-Saharan Africa. She was part of a family where she watched her little brother and sister starving to death, but they finally found some little mush that they ate, and they survived. And she was a man in that lifetime. And when she was 15, her tribe had some kind of man ritual to turn into a man, where you go out into the savanna, I guess, and then you're supposed to put little magical amulets around yourself in a circle to protect you. And if you're meant to be a man in the tribe, you survive the night. And she was eaten by a lion.
Okay.
And she said, she was such a sweet girl. She said, oh, I don't mind. She has cubs to feed. And she understood that from watching her little brother and sister almost starve to death. So she said, oh, I don't mind. I'm going to just be part of, you know, the food chain. And it was so beautiful. And then her next lifetime, she was in the ocean. She was in the water swimming. And she popped her head up out of the water and she said, oh, I'm looking at a beach. And she was swimming around. And then she just burst into laughter and she said, I'm a mermaid. And oh, the delight on her face, she began to swim around and play. And then there was a complete shift and she began to cry. And I said, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she said, oh my God, can you hear the clouds screaming? Can you hear the clouds crying? And I said, no, I can't hear them. Tell me about it. And she said, they're screaming in pain because they're being hurt by the earth. They're being hurt by human beings. They're dirty. And she began to cry about the how dirty the earth was, the whole water system of the earth, whether it was ocean, rivers, clouds, rain, all of it was just so painful to her as a mermaid. And what we discovered was that her work was that in the evenings, she would turn into sea foam. She would completely dissolve into sea foam. And each little cell of her body would travel in the ocean and pick up information about what was hurting in the ocean.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And then in this dawn would come, and she would reform back into her mermaid shape. One of the things she said that was so fun was she said, oh, I see now that jellyfish are our lanterns. She said, there are lanterns underwater. Anyway, so she reformed back into her mermaid shape. And then her job was during the day to sing healing into the water. That was my favorite story.
Oh, I think. Yes, so beautiful.
And what was funny was, just to finish it off, when I counted her out, she said, I'm so happy to find out that I'm a mermaid. Because what her SC said was that she was a mermaid at night in her sleep. And they didn't let her remember because they didn't want her to be upset about the water. That what she could do in her human life was so small compared to what she was doing as a mermaid that they didn't want her to be upset about the water because her passion for the water was so strong. And so they said now that she's seen this, that they'll allow her to see her dreams. And she said to me, look at my hands. They're always wet. And she put out her little hand and it was damp. And she said, look at my hair. It has a little bit of a green tinge to it. It always has. And I it was just so delightful.
Wow. Yeah.
That's one of my favorite stories.
Absolutely. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
No. You know, you really can't. I mean, you know, even in my own sessions that I've had, you know, when as practitioners, we know what it feels like to be hypnotized. And you feel as if, am I making this up? This stuff is crazy, you know? And yet it's crazy. And then you cross so many lines that in the end, you know, does it really matter if you're crazy or they're crazy or if it's true, if it's not true? It just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't know. I love it.
Absolutely. That's what they, well, that's all illusion anyway. You know? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, what other, okay, so that's your favorite. So what other kinds of things you've seen? Okay, well, let's talk about some of the other, you've had healing cases. So let's talk about some of the other healings that you've seen.
Oh, sure. You know, I've had multiple people who've come in with really like back, I guess another great, here's a great story. So I don't know. I like to tell stories. Do you want me to tell
stories? Tell stories. Okay. Let's hear your stories. We love to hear stories.
Okay. So this guy comes in and his girlfriend had made him come. He drove from New Jersey and He had a very, very thick New Jersey accent, and he had owned a series of restaurants, and he'd spent most of his life standing and cooking in kitchens. And his back and his legs were very, very badly damaged from, he was not that old, he was only about 50, but his back and legs were very seriously damaged, very bad veins, and could barely stand up straight. But he could also hardly speak English. He'd left school when he was about 10, and he didn't understand a word that was coming out of my mouth. He kept saying, "My girlfriend made me come. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. My girlfriend made me come." And so I said, "It's okay. Don't worry about it. Just tell me about where it hurts, and tell me about your life a little bit." And we talked, and he just didn't really even understand why he was here. So finally, I brought him into my room and tucked him into his bed, and did the regression, and we went to some past lives, and I don't remember what they were now, but they were very satisfactory. We examined some things. And then we got to his subconscious. So, I don't know if everybody listening understands how these sessions go, but we have an interview and then we go into the room where we do the healing and the hypnosis. And so we hypnotize, we go to past lives, future lives, sometimes even to this lifetime.
Right, whatever's most appropriate.
Whatever the subconscious has planned for the session.
Right.
And then we ask to speak with the client's higher self or subconscious. So the whole time during the session, during the regression, I barely understood a word that he was saying because his accent was so thick and he was just not terribly articulate and could really didn't have much vocabulary to describe the things he was seeing, but it was still, it was okay. So I asked to speak to his subconscious, and all of a sudden, this voice comes in. Complete and total authority, no accent, no huge vocabulary. I think we talked for about an hour. We talked about the state of the world. We talked about future possible timelines for Earth changes. We talked about QHHT. I mean, it was a fascinating conversation. And he said, the subconscious did the healing on him, the back and the legs, and I think he also had reflux or something. And the subconscious did the whole healing and said, "Thank you so much for working with him. It was really hard to get him here today, but we got him here, and this healing is so important. He's anchoring a lot of energy where he lives," and thanked me. I really didn't even want to count him out. I wanted to talk to this subconscious forever. So finally I said, "Okay, well, count him out." He woke up and he goes, "What just happened?" He goes, "Did anything happen? What happened?" He was a complete somnambulist. He didn't remember anything. And when we went to the we went to talk a little bit after the session, and I don't talk to people for a long time after the session. I'm not a big recapper. I just
Right.
let the session settle. It's complete. It's perfect the way it is. So we talked a little bit. He goes, "Yeah, my legs feel better. I feel a lot better. Thanks a lot." And then he just took off. I never heard from him again. But it was wonderful, So you ask about it, whether I've had other healings, to me that was a very successful session.
Absolutely.
Because when he stood up, his legs and his back were fine. I did a radio show with Candace about, I don't know, a few months ago, maybe even a year ago, about a guy who came in with a broken ankle. And he was a nurse, and so he knew all about his ankle. And he had had it set. He'd had an operation. He'd had all kinds of stuff done on it. And he drove down from Vermont to have the session. And when he lay down in the bed, his ankle was very painful. He could barely walk on it. And when he got up, he just walked right out of here. And about 6 months later, it was still perfectly fine. It was working fine. And he had to stand for hours as a nurse, You well know, Julia, what that's like.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And what were you finding? Because that's part of what we do in these sessions is find the cause, you know, and I'm sure you did in that session is what were you
sure.
finding?
Yeah. In that case, it was a case of his holding himself back from having a relaxing time. They wanted him to have a rest.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That he had been on his feet too much.
Yeah.
And he had been on his feet, and that they wanted, he actually got the injury when he was dancing at a party, which was sort of counterintuitive because they wanted him to rest, but it was at a hospital Christmas party of some kind.
Okay. Took advantage of that situation.
Yes, to give him a, I often find with people who have a break, and this is your real, this is up your alley, of course, with the medical stuff. But, you know, people who say, God, just give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get one. And, yeah. and a broken limb, a broken leg, a broken whatever gives them the break that they've been looking for.
That's right. Be careful what you say, people.
Yeah, exactly. You will create it.
Yes.
So... You know, I believe really that any healing is possible. I had one client who came in with stage 4, I think, breast cancer, and I have not heard back from her, so I don't know what the outcome was. But what the SC did with those lifetimes was we went to a couple of really interesting lifetimes, and then the third lifetime that we went to was her in first grade. This woman was probably in her 60s or 70s. Mm-hmm. And we went to her first grade classroom, and the tears just began to pour down her face. And mm-hmm. she, oh my God, look at my classmates. I'd forgotten about little Sally and about Joe and about Bob. And she could see them all perfectly. So her whole first grade classroom was recreated.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at her teacher. It was so cute. She said, oh, my God, I thought my first grade teacher was so old, and she's just a child. She's, like, so young.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, why are they showing us her first grade classroom?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was time for recess. And they all went running out of the building to the playground. And they watched as the mosquito spraying trucks arrived on the playground.
Oh, I remember those.
And these huge trucks started spewing this white fog, the white, you know, mosquito fog, mosquito mm-hmm. killing stuff fog all over. And the children were playing it and dancing and having a great time playing in the clouds of smoke. Mm-hmm. And when we went to the SC said, I wanted to show her where her cancer came from. It was just chilling.
Hmm.
So that was really pretty, I don't know. It was just really moving. Really moving. Because she didn't even, not even remembered that smoke and the dancing and the poison. And of course, in those days, nobody thought it was poison, did they?
Oh, no. We used to, kids used to run behind it, behind the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was just how it was. I mean, they were always doing that, you know?
You know, I think there are some things that having grown up in Japan, I escaped in America. And I think that was one of them, mm-hmm. although I was probably exposed to radiation or something, but you know, I moved to Japan when I was 4 and stayed mm-hmm. there until I was 9. So.
Yeah. I don't remember being one of the kids, but I remember seeing kids doing that. And it was, I don't remember if I had the sense to know that that might not be healthy, but I remember watching other kids fall, you know, they were right behind the truck. I mean, like right up behind it.
Well, if I'd seen that truck, I probably would have been one of those kids. Cause it sounds like fun.
Yeah. but it was just spewing out mm-hmm. this big fog of smoke, you know, this, you know, and you knew that there weren't any mosquitoes right there.
Yeah, you were safe from them there.
Mm-hmm. And we were living in South Texas at the time. See, that's the land of great big mosquitoes.
Oh yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Everything big. So, Julia, can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So, where do you think this work is going? Where do you see it? Because, I don't get a chance to talk to you very often. I'm curious where you see this work going in the future. How is it changing since your mother passed? And what do you see how it's evolving and everything?
Oh, well,
Is that too big
that's
a question?
it is a good question. It's a deep question. What it's all up to us, and it's what our minds, like you said, all healing is possible. And the answer, what you said, you believe her cancer was done because, it's a, and what did the FC, I'm going to ask you, and I will answer your question here.
Yeah, that's fine.
But on that, what did the FC say when you asked the FC? It said we wanted to show it where it came from, but did you ask for the healing in that case?
We absolutely did ask for the healing. And with her, I didn't want to, I don't think she'll be listening, but I didn't want to say she had come to be in love with her cancer. She had really come to be in love with it because she it taught her so many lessons that in a way
I can see that, yeah.
she didn't come to me for a healing of her cancer.
Just an
She
understanding.
an understanding and as part of the sort of journey, I think actually some of her friends had gotten together and paid for the session. And she was like an explorer on the moon with this cancer.
Oh,
She
wow.
was delighted with it in some ways because she said it had just taught her so much and opened up so many doors. And it was funny. She was just kind of, she really wasn't looking for a healing of the cancer. We absolutely did the work. I did the, please heal the cancer.
Right.
But the SC didn't really even address it that much because I
Okay.
think she had her own path. And, I think sometimes I always fight to the end for every second, trying to get rid of every little last cell of anything that might be imbalanced in a person's body. But I always think of Carolyn Mace, who said, a person can die and still be healed. A
Absolutely.
person can be healed and still die, either way you look at it. And so she left here so happy and so completely feeling like I continue in this life, I don't continue in this life. What do I care? It's all good.
Yeah, and that's the main thing. And what they were telling me was it's all up to her. So, and that which is what you're
Exactly.
saying. So
Exactly.
that's right, and that's what it's all about. Where QHHT is going, the evolution of it, which it's always been, as we've seen and you've seen, obviously, as you do this work, is that it's all about what we believe, what we conceive, and so as we are evolving and what we are able to believe, then we're able to see this, it's what how it keeps evolving. So as we are able, what we're able to conceive, if that I hope I'm explaining this right. As soon as we are able to believe that we can grow limbs, then we will be growing limbs with QHHT. So because they it actually is being done. I mean, we're growing organs, we're doing these things, and it's just the where we are having problems, our mind is going, well, wait a minute, we don't have instruments to show us the proof, and we are always wanting our proof all the time, and for something to be on the outside, then our eyes have to see it, and it's like, wait a minute, I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. And
Well,
so.
it's funny because I think of that. I don't know if you've seen that Greg Braden movie that he shows at his conferences where the Chinese doctors are holding their hands over a woman's body, and it shows in real time somehow an MRI or something where they're saying the tumor is gone, the tumor is gone, the tumor is gone, and the tumor disappears in the film. So, of course, God, I remember as a child thinking, all I want is a video, a good picture of a spaceship, and then we can believe it. And of course, now we have millions of pictures of spaceships, and who knows what you can trust and what you can't, right?
Well, exactly. Mary, real quick, we have a caller with a question about dreams. Zach, we can.
Yes.
You have a question?
Yes, that's me, Zach. But, yeah. Anyway, you said something earlier, your guest, about dreams, that and something else, that the younger people, they don't go back to past lives. They go back to, what was it, color?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes
this explain why I don't feel that I've had any past lives. I mean, I know normally you wouldn't feel that anyway, but I just can't explain it. I just can't feel any past lives. And I'm a little confused. So I was wondering if you could shed some light on this.
Yeah, I think probably Julie and I can both shed light on this. You know, I think Dolores talked about this in her later cases that, and I'm finding this too, that, you know, people are coming to the planet who are brand new souls, who are just here for their first lifetime. And they may only be here for one lifetime. And, you know, some people, I had a client the other day who came and the SC said, oh, he was finished with all of his human lifetimes. He never had to come back again, but he heard the call and he came back for this one lifetime. So all of his other lifetimes had been off planet. They'd been on other, you know, planets, other star systems, whatever. So this was his first human life, but he came here to help, to volunteer. I really recommend Dolores's book, The Three Waves of Volunteers, because I think you'll find yourself at home in that book.
Yeah, it's like so many times you see that colors and everything, that's energy. And that's where, you know, you're just energy. You don't have a body. You didn't have it's a life, but it's a life of energy.
Could that explain why I'm so artistic in nature?
Yes, probably so.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of colors, now I'm very, like, literally, if I could define myself in one word, that'd be artist. Like, literally, the painting I'm working on right now, it's a green. And what was really creepy, the thing that I was working on while I was, like, you know, painting this, I was listening to your show, you know, reruns or whatever. And the intention I had behind the painting was that I wanted it to be something that could stimulate the heart chakra. So, naturally, I used green. And then as I was listening to it, I was listening to an episode where you were interviewing someone who did almost the same thing, but with sound.
Mm-hmm. So have you heard of what synesthesia is?
No. Thunderbeat. Okay. That was it. That's what I was trying to think of. Thunderbeat. Something about Thunderbeat. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you might want to look up synesthesia. S-Y-N-E-S. THESIA, synesthesia. It's the mixing of the senses. I think that would help you, Zach. I don't know, Julia. What do you think?
Oh, probably so. Yeah. But let's real quick. Okay, we're starting to run out of time. And Mary, okay. I want to give you a chance to let people know how they can contact you if they want to. So do you want to give out some contact information? Thank you so much, Zach, for calling in. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
I hope we helped you there. So thank you so much.
Yeah, definitely. My contact information is, my website is www.healingacrosstime.com. And it's called that because when you heal something in one lifetime, it ripples across to all of them, since we know all our lifetimes are being lived at once. So it's Healing Across Time. And my phone number is 443-994-9403. And I practice in Annapolis, Maryland, and I'd be happy to work with anyone who feels the call to have a session.
And that's in the Washington, D.C. area, right?
Yep, I'm right about same amount of distance between Baltimore and D.C. to Annapolis, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, you have a parting message. I just felt that. You have something to tell us.
What I would say is just all of you who are out there feeling like you need to connect, find a QHHT practitioner. This work is just amazing. Find someone to go see, have a session, and even better, take the class yourself. You can take it online now. When I took it wasn't available online, but now you can have a class really with Dolores online. Reach out. This work has everything in it. I probably sound like a commercial, sorry, but it is amazing. It's amazing. And I'm just really grateful to Dolores. Thank you, Dolores, for teaching me to do this. It's a pleasure and an honor every time. And thank you, Julia, for having me on the show.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much for being here. And that was perfectly timed. so thank you everyone for being with us, and we'll see you next Friday. And till then, we love you and love you, Mary. Thank
All
you so
right, thanks.
much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you all.